This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that's hosted by my friend Robbie Earle and myself, Kyle Sconewell. I sometimes think I'm bad at these kinds of episodes because if only people knew how much excitement was welling up inside me. I don't want to just like go ballistic here, but that's how I feel. So I don't even know how to start. What do we do? Like, you're going to have to help rein me in a little bit today.
I feel like
you've been hit by a train.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. It's funny. We'll get into this in a second. It was just such a whirlwind of a trip. The whole thing for you, even more so from the very beginning. And by the time I woke up this morning, we're recording this the day after attending the Thor world premiere. It's like my brain didn't know what to focus on. Like there were too many
stimulation,
yeah. too much input, which is still where I am now. So
sure.
Welcome to this session of us processing the information overload from yesterday. But I should say,
in excruciating detail.
In excruciating detail. But our processing difficulties aside, I mean, what a blast. What an incredible day.
Truly a bucket list day.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you didn't catch, we did attend the Thor Love and Thunder world premiere in Hollywood, California last night. I flew in from Nashville for it. Robbie flew to Burbank from Austin for it. And we posted a ton on social media, so I'm sure you saw it there. But we were really debating this morning, because last night got so late, how did we want to share this news? And I think a lot of our listeners would actually like to just know in excruciating detail
right. What
it would be like to go to a red carpet event, because that was us last night.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways, it actually exceeded our expectations. We set the bar moderately high. And I feel like now a day after, I'm looking back going, that was wilder, I think, than I thought.
Before we get into the actual narrative of it.
it's also 9:19 in the morning now. Right. It's important to note the day after.
Right. So what we're going to do here is kind of talk through our experience on the red carpet, sort of getting there. The whole experience from that side, we're going to then end with our thoughts on the actual film. So
correct.
Know that that is coming on the tail end of this. If you're the kind of person that doesn't want anything coloring your expectation, then you can skip over that bit and we'll give you a timestamp where you can come back to hear any final notes on the episode. But again, as always, there will be no spoilers or anything even close to spoilers for the movie.
Well, then can I also say scheduling wise?
Yeah.
So today, red carpet and a spoiler-free review of the film from a very far away level because it's not coming out for 2 more weeks still. Uh-huh. So we don't want to say anything that could change the experience for people. On Thursday of next week, we'll be talking about Ms. Marvel Episode 4, which will be massive. And we're then also going to take a look at Thor's character from a plot standpoint, like where is he at as a character before this film? So today's kind of the review side of it. Thursday is going to be the character centric side of it.
A little mini saga so far kind of situation.
Yeah. So that's where we're at today.
One thing I just wanted to say before we dive in, this is just, it's such a crazy, surreal thing. Like there are so many outlets out there. There are so many podcasts and websites and different media covering this world. And I think what Kyle and I have enjoyed so much is that, you know, we're still ultimately people that love these stories and have enjoyed the story as a whole of the MCU, but just sharing them with each other and with people. And I mean, I was telling Candace the other day, like when I moved to France in 2019, I really debated, like, am I being ridiculous to pack a microphone to go like into our tiny like Lyon apartment? And Candace, I thought, was going to be like, yeah, you can't do that. And
I remember those days. We could hear like cars driving by outside because the window was open.
You could always hear the like French ambulance sounds like the Civil War. And I was just thinking about that yesterday because it's like, man, we had such low expectations for what this would be. And I don't mean that in terms of like of numbers, but I just mean like the kind of community that it's resulted in. I mean, Kyle and I spent a lot of yesterday talking about that and just being grateful for y'all and not saying that disingenuously. Like, I think looking back on where we've come since 2019 made yesterday so much more fun, even because we don't have to come into this episode like posturing, like, oh yeah, you know, it's like we're media, you know, it's what you do, because it's like we've been on the same path with all of y'all, and it makes it all the more fun because I feel like we're, and this is partially why we want to do this episode, because it feels like y'all have been sort of on the team, and so it feels fair to loop you in on the experience we had.
Share what happened. Absolutely to everything you just said. Ditto. Let's go through the day in excruciating detail from the very beginning, keeping in mind that this was crazy for us too. Like, this was not our comfort zone the first time we've ever done this. So everything we're saying was a wild experience for us as well. So it just so happened that my flight had a layover in Austin. So that was interesting. I flew from Nashville to Austin at 5:10. So I got up at 3:40 a.m. Central time.
Jeez.
Flew over to Austin and met you in the airport. I boarded the plane first. The first kickoff to our trip.
Even then, just as a small thing, and this is turning into like one of my recap episodes, but it was funny because I got through security like really, really quickly, and I had gone to text Candace to be like, hey, I'm already through security probably before you're even like back on the highway. And as I pulled out my phone, I just turned around and I was face to face with Kyle because the timing, it was just like.
I was walking, listening to our episode from yesterday to see if there was edit problems. I had something, I thought I was catching something, doesn't matter. And I look up and you're right there. So we kind of just met in the most perfect way too.
Meet cute.
Anyways, I get on the flight and I look to my right and there's a girl taking this selfie with like really big eyes. Like, you know, that like shocked face. And it caught my eye because I'm like, what are you doing? It's an airplane. And I look and she's doing the selfie because she's sitting in front of Elijah Wood. Frodo Baggins. And immediately I catch eyes with Elijah Wood and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Because I'm in the aisle, you know, and like he's trying not to look at people walking by. Everyone knows that experience on the plane. So I kind of panicked and just like looked at him and then walked by. Two rows by, I started texting you, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Like when you get on the plane, like your hero, Frodo Baggins. If you guys don't know, Robbie is as obsessed with Lord of the Rings as he is Marvel. He has a Lord of the Rings tattoo. Mm-hmm. I love Lord of the Rings, but I'm not nearly the level of Robbie. So the whole time I just texted you like, oh my gosh, when you get on the plane, like 10 rows in, Elijah Wood, Frodo Baggins is here.
Those are the only, in some ways, Lord of the Rings is kind of what made me the podcaster I am today. In that's the first time I ever really, like, I felt ownership of a series in that way. Like, you know, I was raised up and my dad was a Star Wars and a Star Trek fan. So I was always in kind of nerd culture. And I've talked about always loving Spider-Man TV shows and comics, but that was such a like watershed moment for me. I still love those movies and books so much. I read the books every year still, and have probably, that's when I started sitting people down to watch, to have them watch the three extended editions of the original trilogy. And I would do that with all my friends. Like I did it at least once a year for over a decade probably. So those are the only movies that and maybe like Lion King are the only movies that I've seen anywhere nearly as much as I've seen MCU films.
Hmm.
Also, yeah, we named our dog Samwise. So it's yeah. it runs deep.
So the fact that Frodo Baggins was on our flight is obviously a massive dub to start off the trip.
Right.
That story in particular kind of ends in a slightly anticlimactic way. You walked on the airplane, tried to go up to him and talk to him, but it's an airplane. You don't want to be weird. He was on the phone, like FaceTiming with a child.
Right.
So totally inappropriate. So we walked by. The rest of the flight, we spent time being like, oh, are we going to be able to catch him at baggage claim? Or like, can we just say hi and that we're a huge fan? Thankfully, and weirdly for me, in Burbank, California, you actually get off the plane not with a gate sometimes. You walk on the runway. So they deplaned the back and the front. So we got off at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
Divine providence. It worked out. We got a chance to walk up to him and just say, hey, we're a huge fan. Like, there's no weird way to say this, but like, thank you so much. And he was really kind.
Yeah.
We were wondering if he was going to lead to more conversation, which he obviously didn't have to. He didn't. So we didn't get a picture or anything like that, but we met Frodo Baggins. So like, that's a dub to start off the day.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think just in general, as we're talking about some of these interactions through the night, I think you and I try to be very, like, especially when you're in this setting, like the setting we were moving into. But even then, just like on a flight, I think it's our ideal scenario that we can just have a conversation with that person and not make them feel like we're asking anything of them. You know, like it's just, it's nice to, it's one of the things that's so fun about interviewing certain creators on the pod is it's like you want to give them a chance to know how much their work has meant to you. Like when we get to talk to Christoph Beck or John Paisano after having talked about them forever.
That is such a good overarching point that we should say right off the bat. We are not the people that are just going to walk right up to these celebrities and go, hey, can I get a picture? I'm so-and-so when they're like doing something else.
Right.
That is not our comfort zone. Like that's not how we want them to remember us either as being those people. So we never force the interactions. Let me say that.
I like the way I like to think about this, and maybe this is not accurate, but whenever I've been like back when we were playing music, not to say that us as musicians were on the same level as Elijah Wood or any of these other actors we're going to talk about. But to me, like, it is nice to hear somebody say, hey, like this thing that you made mattered a lot to me. Like, I appreciate you making that.
Sure.
You know, and that's like, and that's why I like to try to get that across when we have creators. But it's a fine line between that and like, and now, like, you know, I want a picture from you and I want you to come on my show and I want, like, I want you to be my best friend.
That's because you turn it from them to you.
Right.
That's when it turns from like, I want to tell you this, which is a compliment, but I want something from you.
Right.
A photo or an autograph or something. And that's where I always struggle.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I hope at least that people just like hearing, because you never know how insulated people are. You know, like, there's something to be said for just being famous and people wanting photos with you or just wanting time with you to kind of, like, be in the aura of a famous person. But I feel like, I don't know. I just never know, like, given the toxicity of just everything, I don't want to assume that these people are always getting, like, just kind, normal-ish feedback. So I think that's what we were trying to do whenever we met folks like that, that had done things that we appreciated.
Okay. Those are our disclaimers.
Yeah.
We met Elijah Wood. We went to our hotel. We got ready. We got dressed up. We go down to the red carpet. First of all, it's longer than I thought it would be, as far as it stretches more blocks than I thought. While we're in line for our will call tickets to get into the red carpet area.
Well, we should explain briefly what you mean by the red carpet area, because I didn't know this. Like, you know, there are those three theaters right there that you have the Dolby, the El Capitan, and the Chinese Theater.
And they're all right next to each other.
And so the red carpet is basically just running all along those. There were two theaters, we'll talk more about this in a little bit, that were playing the Thor movie. And so you went to the will call line and then found out which theater you were going to be in.
And we didn't know that until we got there because of safety, I guess, or security. They don't tell you which one you're going to. So we're in the will call line, and two funny things there. We ran to our friend Andy Park, who is one of the costume designers of all these Marvel projects, like the art designer behind a lot of this stuff. So he was there because he wanted to see his Thor outfits that he had thought of. And while we were talking to Andy, who's a great friend of the podcast, my favorite experience was we had like a 17-year-old girl come up to us and ask for a picture. And we were all kind of looking around like, oh, for Andy. And she wanted a picture with Robbie. Robbie was dressed so nicely that I think everyone just assumed he was a famous person. And so Robbie's taking pictures with fans, not fans of our podcast, but just random people that think he's someone more important.
Kyle was.
And he was like, whoa, hello.
Well, Kyle was like, should we just take a pen out and just start signing? Good promo, you know?
Yeah,
Write www.theffwpodcast.com.
We got a chance to run into Jim Starlin and Jason Aaron, who I'll let you tell people about.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jim Starlin, it was fun to see him there and also interesting to see him there because, you know, he's known mostly for creating Thanos and creating kind of elements that have been pulled into the Guardians. But, you know, this movie also goes a little bit more cosmic in certain ways. And I wonder if that's part of why he was there. Because that's all just sort of his world and his vibe that he built. But yeah, we got to meet him for a second. That was really fun for me because he's one of those like pretty legendary writers of that certain era. And that was a blast. But then also literally like in line.
Behind us.
Well, one, we should say Kyle is the one that spotted Jim Starlin.
That's true. I recognized him. Come on.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Which I guess is because we follow him on Instagram.
I think so. I just had read about the creator of Thanos and I recognized his face.
I love that. But he was such a like sweet, like soft-spoken, but very like
kind guy. He had like a speech to actually get to. He was going to like talk to fans somewhere.
Because I gave him a little bit of context about who we were and what we do. And he was like, oh my gosh, like I'd love to talk, but I've got to head over and actually giving another interview for kind of a similar thing. But he was like super, super polite, which is again, like not a given. And it's so overstimulating. Like there's, especially for people like that, I'm sure. Like
sure.
Everybody.
He was being escorted around by somebody.
I also, side note, I loved seeing him there too, because there's been that drama with him in the past. You know, like he... And if people don't know what we're referring to, he famously got like was very unhappy with the compensation he got for the use of Thanos in the Infinity Saga. And then there was some undisclosed confidential deal reached between him and Disney and Marvel. And since then, what I've seen is he's been more positive. But then, seeing him yesterday, essentially kind of out promoting the movie on some level, made me really happy. Not for Marvel's sake, but for his sake, like that he feels like the rift is.
Yeah, it's cleared up enough to go.
Right.
And then you saw Jason Aaron, who you recognize.
Yeah,
that was the writer of the Mighty Thor comic.
Right. And that one was super fun because that was literally, we just turned around in line.
Yeah, he was behind us,
And he was right behind us. And
that had to have been a special experience for him, not meeting us, but the fact that so many of his things were being portrayed in a film.
Man, it's so funny.
How fun is that for all these comics writers every time? Like the Ms. Marvel people, the Thor people, like.
I thought a lot about Ms. Marvel this time around because, these are the two projects. And it's funny that they're happening kind of coextensively. I think I did not expect so much of what Aaron put into those stories to make it into the movie. And I really, and again, that's not a spoiler because that doesn't necessarily give you anything about where things land, but just in terms of ingredients, like Jason Aaron created Gore the God Butcher, wrote the introductory stuff about Gore. He also wrote the Jane Foster Thor character, then just wrote this kind of Thor saga that lasts like 8 years. And they used so much of his stuff that, one, I think that was a great call because those are good stories. Two, I'm really happy for him. And three, we did talk a bit for a second about him trying to hop on the pod. So
yeah.
Fingers crossed that we can get him here to kind of talk about it, probably after the movie.
Sure.
So that we can get into all of the nitty gritty. But
again, some of these details maybe people know already. I didn't. It seems like the people that actually got in, so this is all happening, by the way, outside. This is like on the will call area outside the red carpet where fans are just walking around too. So we get inside and I realize the people inside are media, like all the different outlets you guys know.
Right.
And then cast and crew and like their guests. So people that worked on this in some facet, obviously all the A-list actors of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like there's also this whole batch of other like fringe creators, like these comic people and stuff. Oh, and then I should also add sometimes other just A-listers because they want to go.
Right.
So like we saw Miles Teller.
Right.
I think he was just there to watch it for fun. Joe Russo.
Yeah.
Actually was interviewed and he was there. He has nothing to do with this movie, but he brought his family to watch it. So I think an invite still goes out to any other like celebrities that want to show up. And I'm sure there's a lot more.
Right. Yeah.
Including the director of Top Gun, we thought was also there.
Yeah. Which.
So anyways, we get inside and the first room is where they're doing a lot of like the fan interviews, like the first area where the A-listers can meet the fans. And that's where some of our listeners on Slack found us on the coverage. We got spotted.
Yeah.
And that's because we were way in this corner because the path was not very wide for us to go in that area. And so we're in the background when they're interviewing Lady Sif. So you can find us if you go back and watch the replay when Lady Sif is talking. Look for us in the back right corner of the screen. We were geeking out. Like, there's Lady Sif. Like, here's this poster. We were trying to take pictures, but then we were also getting ushered along.
Right.
So it was like just kind of all chaotic. Then the next area is where you've seen these actors stop and take pictures for all the paparazzi. Uh-huh. It's a whole block of poster.
Right.
Where there's just maybe 50 camera people just taking pictures of everyone. So we kind of walked through that. They didn't take pictures of us.
We took pictures of us,
and that's what we posted. And then you get to the end of the red carpet where there's like a gathering area where all of the actors can take a group photo, and that's where some of those costumes that Andy Park had worked on were on mannequins. So we took pictures with those as well.
Which we'll post some of those for you to see. That was actually really cool, I thought, having talked to Andy, having seen his concept art, and then obviously seeing the costumes in the movies that he's done, but being able to see them up close like that, that's so cool for him, I'm sure. Like, there were just so many people there just mingling around the stuff that came out of his brain. That was fun. There are a lot of little things like that, like prop-type things from the movie that they had on display in various ways that kind of made for a fun environment.
That's where we lingered for a while. We ran into Eric Voss of New Rockstars. We ran into Brandon Davis. We ran into some other YouTubers and media outlets. And then we were kind of getting ushered into our theater, which we were in the El Capitan. And while we're going kind of back down the red carpet, hard to explain. You go outside and you start going back down. There's all fans lined. Again, some people waving at Robbie as if he was one of the actors going to the theater, which was a highlight of my day, how much people thought he looked like a celebrity, which he does. One of our listeners wrote in and said, you look a little bit like Hayden Christensen.
Wow.
And you did kind of look a little bit like with the hair slicked back a little bit.
And I'll take that.
Especially with glasses on. So a lot of people trying to stop Robbie, which was fun. I posted a social media video of that. But then we thought, okay, you know what? This is great. We'll go inside. We're good to go. And that's actually then when we're doubling back, when all the A-listers started coming down only like 15 feet to our left.
Yeah.
And so we did get a chance to stop there then and at least get pictures of Chris Hemsworth, Taika, Christian Bale.
Natalie Portman.
Not pictures with them, unfortunately.
Right,
we were behind a divider at that point.
But honestly,
it was fun to kind of see what that looks like.
Yeah. At that point, there were very few people getting pictures with them.
Most people had been ushered in already.
Right. And I think that was which I get. Like, they want that to be the chance to.
So that's our next goal.
Right.
Our next goal is to not just be at the red carpet, but be on the inside of that
Yep.
Journey for those actors to then actually stop Taika and be like, hey.
And then the next goal is to just be
the people
in the movie.
Fair point. Just a cameo. That's all we
just
ask.
Just a cameo, which I that's what I was thinking of. There are some funny things that I think some of our listeners specifically are really going to enjoy about this movie, but we'll get there in a second.
Hey, spoiler free, please. That was when you kind of fully geeked out too. I saw you be like, oh my gosh, it's Natalie Portman.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean, I was obviously.
It's funny. The one person that I said on an Instagram live yesterday that I was saying I'd really enjoy getting to meet was Tessa Thompson. And she's like one of the only ones we didn't actually see on the red carpet. She was there, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like Taika, Chris just looked
incredible.
The man.
It's hard to explain.
He's
huge and jacked and dresses so sharp.
He's
got the aura. Like,
he's so charming. Like he's just
so
like,
charming.
You see him walk, and he was making a point to go and like it was actually kind of cool because they had gotten all of the people attending out of the way at this point, ostensibly so that they could kind of easily come in and out. But then he still took the time, and I heard some of his handlers talking about this because they were standing right next to us. They were like, "This is Chris." Like. It's supposed to just be right in the movie. He's going to spend an hour talking to everybody. And he was going like all along the fence talking to like cosplayers and just fans, like people that were outside of the barrier. Like he had to go out. And it's just like he's...
To be fair too, and I don't mean this to belittle your story, but a lot of the actors did that. So many people pointed out how cool it was to have these like cosplayers here.
Yeah.
I think... I left again feeling like people are grateful for the community that Marvel has created.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wild experience for those people, I think, to walk out and see people like dressed up like you. And
yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thing that I did not have a ton of insight into. Like, I don't know what it looked like. My understanding is maybe there was a cosplay competition.
Yeah, how did they get in there?
Or maybe it's just but they were there for a while, and
And to your point, there was kind of two barriers. So right. Some people were cosplayers, were in with us, like right. In that area. But Chris Hemsworth was walking through them outside the ropes to the like side of the street
right.
Where there was just thousands of fans just to see it.
Yeah, they were just there, just around.
And was signed with those people too.
Right. And that was, I continue to believe... I've said this for going on a decade now. He is the perfection of the human male form. He's the best looking man I've ever seen.
It's so true. I sent a picture of him to my wife and she just did the heart eyes back. Uh-huh. I said, okay, no more photos for you. That's it.
That's what Candace said when I sent her a Taika picture. She's got a big Taika crush.
Okay. Like I'm not sending anymore. Privilege revoked.
That was the other funny thing though. Yeah. We got to see Taika, getting to see his personality even there, just like it, just in the photos, like because you know like Chris and Natalie were taking the posing as you would expect, like
reserved.
A smile, and yeah, like, and Taika was just doing like the very like
hopping around,
yeah, had like one hand like in his pocket and one like draped over it's a vibe.
He is so goofy and quirky. And that's really important for listeners to know because it affects the movie almost more than I can ever remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way the movies get so quirky, that's him as a real human being.
Right.
Like when the other actors talk about behind the scenes, like the Guardians coming in, like, dude, it's a wild thing on
right.
their set. And that's the Guardians. Like that's already
yeah.
a wild
yeah.
set, but they're like, this is a weird whole different deal. When they ask Kevin, like, what kind of movie is this? Kevin's like, it's a Taika film.
Right.
Like, it's what they mean by that is he is so quirky. Like in his whole aura. He has the tiny mustache. He's still rocking that. I mean, it's just got a vibe. And the film then reflects said vibe.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And it's funny because the way that question was posed to Kevin on the red carpet was every Marvel movie is sort of its own genre, which we've talked about and I think is true. And they were asking what genre is Thor Love and Thunder. And I was curious to hear his answer because Taika himself has kind of said this is like a romance movie on some level. And yeah, Kevin's answer was it's a Taika movie. And I think that's right. Like trying to, if I were now having seen it, trying to answer that question, it is a very unique vibe that he pulls off. I thought that that interview you're referencing with Chris Pratt was also really, really funny because, like, I think that Taika and Hemsworth are just such a match made in heaven, and that, like, Chris is so funny. He's got such great comedic timing, and he does, like, really goofy comedy really well. Like, even
Hemsworth.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's true. I'm talking about two Chrises. Hemsworth.
Well, Chris Pratt was saying that about Chris Hemsworth and right. Taika.
Yeah, I've got to stick to last names here. But he was talking about his experience, and I just thought it was interesting. Like, Chris Pratt is known as, like, was one of the first, like, funny guys in the sure. MCU, right? And was definitely that on Parks and Rec. I still think he's a hilarious person whenever he inhabits those roles. But even he was clearly like,
well, it's goofier.
Yeah, like, I think he was having trouble wrapping his head around what he had just been a part of. And, like, even when they were talking about, like, talking to Karen Gillan, she was the same way.
Yeah,
like,
Karen said the same thing.
Like, they asked, like, what was the vibe like? And she was just, like, bonkers. Like, I don't know another word. And it was just, you're, like, I'm glad you said it that way.
Natalie Portman said the same thing.
True, yeah.
Well, it's just bonkers compared to what I've done.
Right. But I think what's funny is, like, to hear that especially from the Guardians folks, because years ago, right, people would have said, like, that's sure. James Gunn. He's quirky. It's going to be a crazy project. And I'm not minimizing that or diminishing that. It's just crazy that, like, those people can then come to this and be like, oh, sure. wow.
As you'll hear in my review, don't hear me saying he's the goofiest person ever as always a good thing. I'm not sure, saying that sure. that means he's better than James Gunn because it's so loosey-goosey right. on set. I'm just saying it is that different.
Yeah.
Another takeaway for me and for you, uh-huh. we both left feeling like, I'm pumped for Guardians 3.
Yeah.
Not yeah. just because of the Guardians being in the film, but listening to Karen Gillan and Chris Pratt talk about mm-hmm. the fact that they're finished filming with that. I don't know. It already feels like it has a special vibe, potentially. I don't know. That was my takeaway there.
Yeah. No, I was in the same spot, particularly with Karen. Like yeah. she was one, and you said this.
We need Karen on our show.
That's the goal. Listen, if you're listening to this,
Karen,
please. Well, yes, Karen, if you're listening to this, please come on the show. If you're just listening to this as a person that isn't Karen, your mission, should you choose to accept it,
Mission Impossible coming up later, keep going,
is to get Karen Gillan on our show.
Yeah.
She's so lovely. She's so into it. Like, she's so yes, into this universe. And I loved hearing her try to, obviously, without spoiling anything, which I think is really hard with the third installment of something that, like, James Gunn has kind of made clear will be his last.
Right.
She was clearly, like, welling up with pride about how it ended and yeah.
We have been honored to have so many incredible guests on our show, and we've said this a lot, but they've all been gracious to us, everybody.
Yep.
And so I'm very thankful, but we do have, like, behind the scenes, a growing list of what I would call, like, my white whales. And mainly that's because these are people that, for whatever reason, I think just give off the vibe that they're really into this as well. And I think that'd be so fun.
Right.
So Karen Gillan's on that list. She is all in on Nebula.
Yeah.
And I would love to talk to her about that. Iman Vellani is yeah. a white whale for me. Like, I really want her to be on the show. I think Iman would enjoy this community. I think Iman should be in our Slack channel.
yeah.
So there's a few lists, but hearing Karen kind of reinforced that.
Right.
I think that's somebody we can get on the show, and I would like to talk to her.
I think that's a fun, whether this is an interior conversation between us.
Chris Hemsworth is another one. Yeah. I think he's really into it. I would like to talk to him about
it. A list of the folks that seem, and we've talked a lot about Tom Hiddleston being that way.
Yes. Yep. He's on her.
But yeah, it is. It's just so fun to see. And I don't view that as, again, like, belittling the other people. Like, I don't think that you owe anything more than just, like, turning in a great performance with this stuff. But it is just really fun to see them get caught up in the story of it, especially with movies that they aren't even a part of.
Right.
Another thing, actually, which you caught, Kyle, we had an America Chavez appearance here.
Oh, yes. So that's an example, right? Yeah. Like, America's not in this movie, spoiler. Right. But she seems really into it, and she was just there to watch and walk the red carpet. And
that was, it was fun because we saw her, I think, meet Taika for the first time.
Yes, we did.
Which was kind of cool.
We saw her a couple times, actually. More to that later.
Yeah, true. But yeah, it was just everybody, like, I guess to cap off that portion of the red carpet, it was just such a good... It was such a good vibe with the way that they were interacting both with fans and with each other. Like, it felt like everybody was genuinely celebrating what you talked about with Joe Russo, with Kevin Feige. Like, everybody was just so proud of the thing that they made. And I think, like, again, seeing the movie...
This is later.
I'm just saying, I get... This is not me saying that it's good or bad, even really. But I get why... It evokes some of the feelings that people had about it. Like, why they're just proud of how this one turned out in particular.
There was a good energy out there.
It was a good energy for sure.
Couple more really interesting details that maybe no one will care about, but I didn't know. Disney employees were actually running the whole thing. So, like, people with Disney badges were all the help. I just thought that was interesting. I don't know who I expected it to be, but Disney is putting that all on. Then you go into the theater and you have to lock your phone in a security bag, which I've never seen. You said you've seen that before at a concert, but they give you a little knapsack, a fanny pack basically, that locks. So you cannot touch your phone. So then we went dark online and sat inside the El Capitan, which is like a venue almost. It's more of like a concert hall or a theater, like a music theater. And waited for a long time. The movie was delayed. It's probably because Chris Hemsworth was talking to so many fans. I don't think they were going to start it until he was in there. So we probably started like 40 minutes after we thought, but they give you a little, box of popcorn and you can take a drink.
Yep.
And I buttered up my popcorn. And so we were happy. I mean, it was pretty cool. Yeah,
it was great.
Free concessions.
And we just got to see any red carpet coverage that we hadn't caught as we were coming in was being played in that theater, which was fun.
Yeah. So that's actually where we saw the Chris Pratt interview, et cetera.
Right.
And the Karen one. So next time when we go, I think we'll linger outside a little bit longer and try to catch those people.
It's so crazy. There was just so much we didn't know about this, this whole thing. Yeah. And I mean, that's no one's fault. It was just, we had never done it, but now it's such a whole process. And I think that there are things you know to do or not to do.
At this point, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. Like, this has been a wild ride to have done that. So we're waiting in our seats. The movie plays. We'll get into that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
We had fun. A couple things I didn't think about. One, the energy in the building was different than any other screener.
Yeah.
Like, there was cheering and laughing, and it did feel like one of those opening night audience reactions things you've seen from like Avengers Endgame. So that was really fun. That kind of made it special.
Yeah.
And then two, this is something you don't think about, but we're sitting in the credits waiting for a post-credit scene. And every time a name comes up, there's a section of applause.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm realizing these people are here.
Yeah.
This is like their family cheering for them when they see, you know, art director or cinematographer assistant or whatever. And their name comes up. And that actually kind of made it special to me. That gave me a chance to turn to you and be like, this is pretty cool. Like, these people have spent literal years for this moment.
It's like being at a graduation.
Yeah.
You hear like the people's families.
And so to hear all the applause and stuff I don't know. That was a special moment for me too. And that's something I guess I didn't think about ahead of time, even though I should have. But
Yeah, it was just such a crazy vibe. Like, everyone was pretty dressed up. One, would not recommend watching a movie in a suit. Not the most comfortable way to do it.
A lot of attractive people there.
Yeah, there were
a lot
of
uncomfortable in the suits. I had too many pairs of sunglasses and gum and stuff in my pockets. And then that phone in the baggie, it's like, I can't hold it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Popcorn, Diet Coke.
One thing that not to jump back, but one thing I thought about the El Capitan experience that was kind of fun is, like, since it is a theater, you know, like a venue, the actual opening of the film was really fun. We didn't talk about that, but it's like there's an actual like structure,
like set design.
Yeah, like a built-in
set. Like if you're going
set.
To a musical.
Yeah. And so it's like the curtains come up and you think at first it's like just going to be a screen, but it's like a light
show almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's and I don't know. This is me being ignorant. This is maybe a tradition at the El Capitan because it's like a peacock. And I don't know if that has anything to do with like an old NBC thing or something, but it was really fun because there are like then layers of it that come off and it just creates this like build to the opening of the movie. Like it makes it feel like,
yeah, they'd peel back different sets.
Yeah.
Showing a different picture with like cool light shows until mm-hmm. we got to the screen with huge applause.
Yeah. It was really like, they did that really, really well.
It just all puts such an emphasis on this being like a huge deal for these people. For mm-hmm. us, it's another check in the Marvel Cinematic Universe box of 29 films and shows. Right. And like, it's a check. It's like, that was cool. That was fun. But you forget like, no, not, they may not work on another one ever again. This is like
their one.
So like, I love the energy build up to, this is not just a movie you watch in the background while you're making dinner. This is not right. like, this is like, we're here to sit down and just watch the movie with no phones. Like you can't pull it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different experience.
It is.
I kind of equate it to when you see an artist that you love, you may only get to see a concert once in your life of mm-hmm. this artist. And you feel like I'm not going to film all this because I want right. to actually just realize this is the moment I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
But I feel like we were very present in the moment. Of being like, this is wild.
Right.
We may never get to do this again. Who knows?
And that's why like we were posting things and just posting them. Like we weren't reviewing them
yeah.
or seeing no them first or seeing like, because it, yeah, we were trying to just kind of experience it. But in that theater, that's such a good point. I like they took any, like if you had a smartwatch, anything at all that was digital. So you had no sense of what time it was. Unless you had brought an analog watch, which I was looking around and like nobody did because I was going to ask somebody what time it was right before it started. And yeah, no possibility for distraction like that, which was nice. And something that Kevin said I stuck with me just with what you were saying about it being some of these people's first film or only film to have worked on. He said that he and Chris Hemsworth had a conversation kind of coming into the red carpet where they both said it felt kind of like Thor 1 again. Like it felt like the first one, which is nice because, and in some ways it was like Kevin highlighted the fact that this is the first fourth film for a single character.
Sure.
Which is true. Like in everything we've gotten so many versions of team ups and all this kind of stuff, but it says something that this character has kind of lasted the way that it has.
So, there are two post-credit scenes, both of which are important and are not jokes. Not uh-huh. like, so definitely worth sticking around for. I say that just because like you're not going to get Captain America'd or,
right.
you know, Pizza Papa'd. It's a real scene. We were on cloud nine. We left. We had heard about this after party from one of our friends actually
yeah.
told us that they sometimes have an after party at this certain place or whatever, uh-huh. but we had no invite. We were very weird. And this is where I was so impressed by Robbie. Robbie went into like, dominant lawyer schmooze mode. And I'm like following like a heat seeking missile to this party. And I'm like, who is this guy? And I love it. We're walking 5 feet the whole way from Miles Teller. Just like Robbie's like, I'm like, dude, you're following him too closely. He's going to think that we're stalking him all the way to this party. Now here's the bad news. We didn't get in.
Yeah.
We went all the way down to the security, went through everything with our badge. And right. then they're like, your name's not on the list. And
right.
we're like, dang it. So that's our next step again, get in the yeah. after party. But there's a consolation there. We did get a chance to talk to the Marvel host
uh-huh.
that was hosting the whole thing. And she was with Anjali Biyamani, who is Aunt Ruby, one of the aunties uh-huh. in Ms. Marvel. So
yeah.
I thought that was kind of a full circle. She was there just to see it,
yeah.
which is fun. And that was actually our longest, most interactive conversation. Like
yeah.
we stayed with them for a long time.
Yeah.
And so spoiler alert, she said she's coming on the show. So we're going to yeah. have some Ms. Marvel people on the show now.
So that'll
and
be fun.
That was really fun. Yeah. She told fun stories.
Yeah.
Like that's like we hung out there.
Yeah. It was fun. The thing that I was happy about with our experience there, at the after party or outside the after party.
Like the lobby of the after party.
Which was funny. There were a lot of other people. Like it was like the level, the whatever level we were at that were like mingling outside of
And that's where we saw America Chavez walk by again.
Right.
And I didn't stop her, unfortunately, but she was headed down to the other party.
Yeah, yeah. To go back to what we were saying at the very beginning about the way we wanted to interact with these people, everybody kept stopping Miles Teller to get a picture with him. And he was being super kind again. He did a good job, I thought, of like he obviously couldn't take every picture with everybody, but right. whenever he could, he would try to. And as we were heading out, we were trying to figure out what we should do. Like we said, this friend of ours had said, oh, well, like oftentimes some folks will hang out over here. So we just started walking in that direction right. and then realized at some point that we were walking parallel with Miles Teller. And I think Joe Kosinski, the director of yeah. Top Gun Maverick.
And by parallel, at this point, I'm meaning legitimately 4 feet.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
with him. I think people thought we were in the entourage.
Which is funny. Yeah. Which then got funny because people started.
But then I started feeling so uncomfortable. I'm like, we're not in this entourage.
But we didn't.
But Robbie was. He was just doing it.
But we weren't trying to like I in no way ever tried to approach Miles. It was just funny because other people kept pulling him aside and for pictures. So his security started like kind of funneling and like pulling people aside and getting everybody out.
But not us. Right. Like we were part of the group. He like opened the door for us. Right. And that's why I was feeling so uncomfortable. And Robbie was just owning it. All the way until the actual list.
I know. That wasn't as much of a letdown because no. I knew that we wouldn't be.
We weren't lying. Literally, right. somebody from Marvel told us where this after party was. And so we thought, let's just go check it out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not forcing anything.
Yeah. And she had just said, like, hey, people gather over here. Like, you should go if you have the time. And so we were like, yeah. And it was clearly a mistake that we weren't on the list. So we were, you know, and we were very gracious.
So we killed
about
the guy. And then, you know, next
but
year
then
we'll go
we were
back.
Very gracious yeah, about yeah. it.
So at that point, it just should be said that it is now 11 p.m. and it's 1 a.m. Central from my 3:40 a.m. wake up.
Yeah.
And it was just like a literal whirlwind of stimulus.
Uh-huh.
And so we were starting to crash. And this is like my favorite thing about you. This is my favorite thing about this podcast is normally that's like a Kyle goes home, goes to bed
uh-huh.
type situation. And we hadn't eaten dinner except for the popcorn. So
right.
we went out to a restaurant in Burbank, sat outside in California, like on the patio.
Uh-huh.
And we just... for an hour and a half unpacked what we had just seen. Like I had no energy to go live on Instagram or
right.
anything like that, but it ended up leading to like a 40-minute discussion on how good Infinity War was and how
right.
good Endgame is. And then
yeah.
we started going into like, do you remember where you were specifically for all these films? And so
uh-huh.
then like all the way back to our hotel room, till like what 12:30 in the morning, which is
yeah.
now 2:30 Central.
Right.
We were just talking about like, where were you when Ragnarok came out? Like, and I told the story there and like,
right.
where were you when Winter Soldier came out? And like, we were trying to remember all these things. And it was just like a perfect recap to a really special night, to be honest.
I'm glad you brought that up because we actually wound up talking very little about the movie, partially
well,
by intention,
because
yeah. we like to try to make that as fresh as we can.
And we don't want to try to influence each other so much before we get on our recording of
right.
our reactions to the movie.
Right.
So even to this second, I don't know a ton of what you think about the movie,
yeah.
which we'll be recording next.
To kind of bring it full circle to what I said at the beginning, Kyle and I... we were going back through, like, when did we even first connect again? Like, reconnect.
Yeah, right.
This sort of shared Marvel passion.
It's hard not to be nostalgic and reflective when
yeah.
you just did all that. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it's just, we're super, super grateful to have the exact kind of community that we do and that it's turned into what it is and that, like, it's allowed us to... be a part of these things on this level, but it's just I love that it always comes back to
Infinity War is a perfect movie. Like somehow you would think our passion tank would run empty, and yet at
yeah.
midnight we're like passionately ranting about how unbelievable shot for shot
yeah,
Infinity War is. Like we walked through Infinity
yeah.
War.
These are conversations that we have had like
17 times
yeah, I mean,
at length.
Like, but before we even started the podcast, Like,
yeah, we would have these conversations.
And now it's like, it's so funny because we will quote lines back and forth to each other. And it's like, like I will just let you recite a scene to me and then vice versa.
Because it's like,
because we just,
it feels good to like hear the scene good. Again, even though it's me saying it.
It's just funny because I feel like over on Friends from Work Plus, every now and then we've put out these episodes about Infinity War and Endgame. And every time I know people keep thinking like, man, do they not have like any other content? But I'm like, maybe not. This is just all we talk about.
Play the hits. Play Ya Ya Ding Dong. Wow, what a deep cut reference that was.
Yeah,
that was,
I appreciate
Eurovision.
That. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Eurovision, oh, yeah. Will Ferrell.
Hilarious.
And Rachel McAdams. No, I'm glad you said that. It's the right kind of community.
Yeah.
It's hard not to be thankful and grateful for all that when we're sitting there at midnight after what just happened. And that's why we're doing this episode too, because we want you guys to be a part of it. We want you to feel like you're a part of it.
I feel like this came up several times yesterday in totally different contexts that we won't go into, but it is just, there is so much toxicity, like particularly in the like TV and film world and in the like, kind of like nerd culture world. And so whenever we say that, it's not that we're like, y'all are so great to us. I mean, it is that. But it's also just fun how much it just feels like a community where people just are kind to each other and enjoy like lifting authentic, each other up and
authentic and positive.
Yeah, yeah. So,
all right. So here's what's gonna happen. That was our day, but we want to give you a little bit of our reaction to the actual film, Thor: Love and Thunder. And so, if you don't want to hear anything about the movie, we take no offense. You can turn off this episode now. Like I said, on Thursday, we'll be diving a lot deeper into Thor as a character ahead of this. But if you want what we would have put on a tweet or in an Instagram live, that's coming after a quick word from these sponsors. Special thanks to our friends at Epic Hero Shop. They make incredible merchandise. And so if you're looking to get ready for the Thor Love and Thunder premiere and you want to wear some cool Marvel merchandise, go to epicheroshop.com and use our promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK. And special thanks to Squarespace. Our website, the FFWpodcast.com, has been built exclusively through Squarespace, and we love it. They have an incredible set of tools for any website builder of all skill levels. Like, for example, for me, I knew very little about building any kind of website, and I now know how to run the whole thing and change pages and everything. So I'm thankful for the ease of use that Squarespace provides. And so if you're a musician, if you're an artist, if you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, and you need a website, I would highly recommend checking out Squarespace and tell them that we sent you by using our promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK to save 10% off any website and domain.
In support of our friends at Epic Hero Shop, there were quite a few folks last night sporting the Thor Strongest Avenger
That's
hat.
Such a good point. It was actually kind of fun to see some of the Epic Hero Shop merch. So go check out Squarespace and Epic Hero Shop. Okay, this is going to be briefer, and not because I'm trying to like cut this short, but just because it's such an awkward spot for us to say stuff about this film without really wanting to color your experience at all. And that's truly out of us caring about you watching the movie. We want you to form your own opinion and we want you to enjoy it fully. And so I don't ever want to say anything that takes away from that enjoyment right now. I'll tell you what my honest reaction is, because some people get into that kind of thing, like finding out ahead of time what the response is going to be. And I think I'll give you a quick glimpse into what I think the overall response is going to be. Again, knowing that we don't talk to these people. We walk out and we have to craft a tweet knowing nothing. This is literally the earliest in the world that anyone has seen this film.
Right.
So there's nothing to bounce this off of. So why don't I just say a quick little bit?
Yeah.
You say a quick little bit, and that can be it. And then on Thursday, we'll dive into the character of Thor. All right, where do I want to start? Just because I've become kind of like the visual guy, I need to point these out, because the visuals in this movie are spectacular to me. I've only watched it once. Again, it was like 12 hours ago, but it felt next level.
Yeah.
There is not a single concern on the visuals. They're unbelievable. Not just in like the CGI, which is amazing. And the fighting that they visualize is, I don't want to say anything crazy, but maybe the best I've ever seen. It's up there for me.
Within like the fantasy context.
Yes. It's
like it's obviously different.
It's not from, Winter Soldier right. grounded shaky cam, right. but it is like cosmic and mm-hmm. stunning to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we praise Guardians for with like the world building of like actually giving other planets feels and uh-huh. vibes, this does it amazingly well.
Uh-huh.
It really does feel like a journey in that way. And then the way they depict the fighting and the way they depict Jane, I can't say more than that, but is special.
Yeah.
It's different, it's unique, and yet you still feel the power and the weight of those fights and those moments. It's stunning visually.
Yeah.
I also think Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman and Tessa Thompson and Christian Bale killed it.
Uh-huh.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Natalie Portman to me is a standout here.
Uh-huh.
It's such a different vibe from Thor Dark World for her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought she was spectacular. I think Christian Bale was spectacular and Gore is spectacular. I do think Gore could have benefited from a little more runtime.
Mm.
The movie doesn't ever feel short. It's 2 hours long, but like, a couple more scenes could have helped with Gore, although I thought he was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It is so funny. Like, laugh out loud, especially in that environment in our theater, multiple times from multiple people. It's so Taika. It's the quirkiest movie we've ever had. It's bombastic. It's jokes where you don't expect jokes.
Uh-huh.
It's hilarious. I do think at times it was dialed up a little bit too much for me. It was a little bit too far with the jokes to where if you thought Ragnarok was too far, you haven't seen anything yet.
Right.
If you thought Ragnarok was perfect, then I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But maybe a couple of times I could have gone without something so goofy. And it's not even a joke. It's like, it's literally goofy.
Right.
Or like ridiculous or insanity.
Right.
For a section that maybe could have been filtered down. Like, this is Taika unfiltered.
Uh-huh.
This is Kevin giving Taika even more leeway to do what you want with the character. Now, on the other side of that too, though, this movie has way more heartfelt moments than Ragnarok. To me, this is pulling at the emotional strings in certain places more than a lot of the MCU. And in that way, it being dialed up is also fantastic. So in my mind, it doesn't even approach Guardians 2 territory, because while some of the humor is maybe dialed up too much, and by the way, some of it's not. Some of it's just the funniest stuff you've ever seen and the most ridiculous stuff you've ever seen. And it's so worth it. If there's a couple times that it oversteps its bounds, it's made up for in the fact that the emotional core is dialed up as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's about all I'll say. I would say like it met my expectations, maybe slightly exceeded them. I'm not sure it's the best Marvel movie I've ever seen. I'm not going to come out and say that. I've read some reviews of that.
Uh-huh.
It's also not bad, which I've read like two reviews that were disappointed. I don't think that's fair.
Uh-huh.
It's very good. I'll just say, for the people who love Thor as the Kenneth Branagh, like God of Thunder, Thor, I can see how maybe 15% of people would be disappointed in how goofy this gets. Like how, again, I like it. So, but my finger on the pulse, I could see this getting like 84%. Like very, very good, but there's going to be a faction of people that are like, okay, this is just too silly for me.
Yeah.
Like I want Thor to be like Shakespeare. And this is not that at all. Like this is not that at all. And so is that a fair description? I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm not sure where I'll rank it yet, but it will be higher.
Yeah.
And it was an experience like I've never had. And the energy in the room was so fun. And I think there's something to be said for that, that Taika creates this vibe that is just so much fun. Like, I think people leave being like, wow, it's good to be in the theaters. And like, it's just fun. And yet it has like choked up moments. Mm-hmm. Like I was moved emotionally,
mm-hmm.
which is what he's so good at.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen Jojo Rabbit, you know what I'm talking about. And so very, very, very good. But I can see some people being like, wow. Not as polarizing as Multiverse of Madness to me, which I think if that ended up at like 78 or 79%, that's partially what I'm basing this off. So
right.
I think this will be more inventive, more bold. Again, we always ask for Marvel to do that. This is definitely more bold and more everything.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be better than that. So I think it's going to probably end around 84%. I might go a little higher than that for myself.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. That's my thoughts. I haven't told you that at all. What did you think?
I love that. First off, just because it's on my mind, and you're better at this than I am, I feel like this one could hit 90. I don't think I don't think it will go.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, but I think it could. I'm thinking about other, and you know, it's weird, right? Because like I think the first Doctor Strange film has 90% on Rotten Tomatoes still, and it's like I certainly think that this is a better, more interesting film than that one for the most part, but. You know, just the landscape changed in the ways the way people approach these. But yeah, so that's my prediction on that front. I guess there are kind of three things to me that I wanted to highlight on a spoiler-free level. One, you already emphasized, which is the heart behind this movie. And that's what I was the most worried about. Just because, like, all you kept hearing was how goofy it was, and I just didn't want that to be lost, because those are the moments from Ragnarok, while on the one hand, like we said yesterday, I also think Ragnarok has been, at least till now, the funniest movie in the MCU to me. I also really love the Death of Odin scene and the God of Hammer scene. And, you know, like so I wanted those moments, and those showed up here in spades in multiple ways. And there were some weaknesses, I thought, not weaknesses, but things that it improved upon. Like, I love Ragnarok so much. It's one of the movies that I can almost always throw on and just have such a fun time. But I think that there were certain things.
It's an incredibly rewatchable film.
Yeah.
Ragnarok.
But I think that like this, it's just, it feels different. It feels like there's a, I liked Hela as a villain, but I don't think that we ever really had a chance or were supposed to like sympathize with Hela, right? Like, I don't think that was something that he was trying to do. We talked about loving Hela in the way that Kate Blanchett plays the character and the character design, but we didn't talk about her in the same way that we talk about like Killmonger or Thanos or even Vulture. And I think that he really went for that, the more like understandable villain, but also like kind of wickedly terrifying, you know, like.
That's something I didn't say that people should know is this was creepier than I thought.
Yeah.
Obviously, the tone of the movie is not creepy, but there are sections where all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
A little bit like Doctor Strange at times here.
It's so interesting visually, and that's sort of the last piece of this first point I'm making, which I think is that it improved on a lot of things that I didn't even know necessarily needed improvement in Ragnarok. But like one of my last rewatches of Ragnarok, I noticed certain things that I really loved, like little kind of tiny shots and grounded elements that I think I forget with how colorful it is in my memory. Like, I always think of Sakaar. But there are also, like, there are parts of certain, like, battle scenes or just, like, I don't know if it's the way that the set design was, but it feels a little like soundstagey at points in Ragnarok. Like, it just doesn't feel like.
Sure.
It doesn't
as
feel
as like big and open.
Yeah, as even like Guardians. Like, it just feels a little like studio-esque at times.
Okay.
And again, not enough to keep it from being like my fourth favorite movie. But here, like you were saying, I didn't feel that at all. Like, I felt like Taika, between those films, has gotten much better at doing the blockbuster thing, like on that level, like, you know, okay, kinda, sure. as we're coming out of like Top Gun Maverick and returning to like, what does it look like to make a blockbuster like that?
Yeah.
It was more that. So I think in that, in all those ways, it was everything I wanted from Ragnarok and more. The second thing that I was going to say is I'm loving the movies that we're getting so far this year. Well, technically, I would almost include No Way Home in that too, because it's just getting, they're so comic booky, and that's where they're going to be divisive on some level. I mean, No Way Home was not, I guess, but like, I loved how much Multiverse of Madness felt like a Doctor Strange comic book come to life. And this is the first time, I think, since arguably the first Thor movie, that I felt that way. Like, I felt like, obviously, there were elements of things running throughout all of these different stories. But this feels like, and this is why I'm curious, like, your response about people maybe missing Kenneth Branagh Thor.
Well, I don't feel that way, but yeah, I could see some people saying that.
The thing that's interesting to me is Thor went from being the kind of super stoic, like he had the fish out of water funny stuff that came up now and then, but largely he was kind of the like stoic guy until Taika really opened up the comedy, and then he like really was in that, like either he was really funny or he was like really angry, and that was kind of the Thor that we got for a bit. And this is the most I think we've ever had the kind of like, this is a Thor that has a certain joy in being himself. Like, I don't want to go beyond that and do any plot things, but I just feel like it's like, if you have read Thor comics, not specifically even Jason Aaron comics, but just in general, the idea that he's this kind of like big, like largely jolly, but very powerful and terrifying when he needs to be, like adventurer, it feels like we landed there, right? So it's like, I would be curious to speak with people that are big fans of certain Thor comics that don't feel like that's being represented here, because I could see maybe the humor stuff just not being their bag. But I really think you get some epic Thor moments. And again, like epic Thor moments that feel different from ones we've gotten in the last few films when he showed up. So it's like, it feels like a natural progression of the character, but also sort of a reinvention of the character to me. And then finally, I think that the additions to this cast were so spectacular, like you said. Natalie Portman and Christian Bale and Tessa Thompson, who's not an addition, I suppose. But yeah, it was just a great, great dynamic all the way through. I laughed so hard next to you at things that I was like, I know at some point this is the sort of joke that may get old to Kyle, but it is just like, it was like demanding laughter from me. Like I couldn't, there's something about Taika's humor that it's like, it just, it works for me almost every time. And that was our whole theater.
Like me too. Our so did you theater. Feel like it ever went one step too far or that was the perfect amount?
Right? I would say that there are some that's the kind of thing I'm interested in a rewatch for, because there were a couple moments that even like when a scene started, I was like, I don't know if I like this. Like this maybe feels a little too kitschy, but then he would do something with it that was unexpected to where I would be like, okay, no, this is fun.
The other best part about the humor to me is that it's so funny. It's so funny. It's so funny. And then there's times where, okay, that was a little bit too far. That was a little bit too far, but still funny. But then, and I can't say the plot points, right, but when it needs to get serious, he doesn't. There's times where I thought, okay, it's needing to get serious, Taika, and you're not letting it. But he still reserves the most serious moments for being emotional, and there aren't jokes there.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, I totally agree. And I think that there is a joy in this movie that that changes some of that humor even and makes it substantive almost, if that makes sense. Like there are certain moments, like there are moments where you're seeing Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman interact and there are jokes, but it goes deeper because there's like a relationship building component to that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And I think, and that's just what I guess that maybe the summation of everything that I've just been saying is I just feel like it's a great step forward whenever you and I were asking what possible step forward is there for Thor. I really think that they nailed it here in a meaningful way. And it's like when you look back at the Thor of the past few movies, which we loved, it was this like he was either in really angry mode or he was kind of becoming more the butt of the joke almost. And I think that's what maybe some people didn't like. And I just don't think that that's the case here. I think it's like he's now, there's like a confidence, there's a joy from the character to where he is sort of like, not even just in on the joke, but it's like a rollicking kind of warrior thing, you know? I love it. It feels maybe like what they were originally going for with like Thor and the Warriors 3, you know, in the first film.
Yeah, that's true.
That just didn't work. But yeah, I really, really, really liked it. Like I had a ton of fun with it. And I think, I know Candace is going to love this one.
Yeah, she will. I think my keyword is more. That's my one word association with the film. And so Ragnarok for me was like 95% good, 5% bad. Mm-hmm. That's why it's, I think, sixth on my list.
Uh-huh.
And so if you just imagine that, but just more. More right. Everything. I think you're dialing up the good and you're dialing up that 5% that was bad.
Right.
All just more and more and more like Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
And because of that, I had so much fun. It was a wild ride.
And then
obviously I'm also feeling that way because you combine it with the experience of how we watched it. It was just like almost overwhelming.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard because I think you and I, we always kind of take stock of how we feel coming out of these since we've been seeing them together. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, like, we always wonder if the Black Widow experience we had, which was so great, seeing it was our first screener, seeing it at a really fun theater, colored that. And I'll be curious to see if that's the same here, because I feel like these are two that you and I have come out pretty positive on initially, you know?
Like, we tried desperately to watch this film removing all of that. I tried so hard to be like, okay, just pretend you're just watching it. Ignore all the red carpet stuff that happened, but also ignore expectations. Like just have fun with the movie and then we'll judge it later. Cause you know, I'm tired of movies aging better on the second watch. I want to get better at like being in the moment to where I can enjoy it. And I felt like I got there.
I felt like I got closer to that for sure. And two things I would say just for listeners. One, this is one of the things I love about Alamo. Yeah, like I loved not being able to have my phone or even like my Apple Watch to know if I was getting an email that I should be worried about. Like it was just this freedom of like you're fully in this. And then two, I am starting to really appreciate the fact that we have zero idea how good or bad this movie is going to be when we go see it.
Sure.
And I know that if people are listening to me right now as we're talking, we are working against that for you by giving you our impression.
Right. Plus they've probably already read things now.
Right. But I would say like to the extent you, like what I used to do by the time I got to Infinity War and Endgame, I would go see it without looking at anything on Rotten Tomatoes at all, just because I didn't want that to color my impression. Like I didn't want to go in being like, okay, here I'm seeing a B+ movie. Right. And so I would encourage you, like if that's something that you want, maybe like save a lot of that stuff for after you walk out, because I think it's just really nice to experience it your own way and not have to subjugate that to somebody else's labels.
Absolutely. We have to go because we have so much to get into today. I have so much more podcast stuff to do today.
We do.
I got to reemphase one last thing. And then there's a battle scene in this that might be the coolest looking fight visually we've ever had. That's yeah, crazy. That's going to totally be hot takey.
Agree.
But
I
there's
totally
like
agree.
A good 15-minute chunk where you're like, this is so cool visually.
Right.
Anyways.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give this a grade.
Oh.
Very quickly. I'm not going to describe why I'm giving it this grade because I just did that for a while.
Okay.
This is going to get a let's freaking go from me. That's where I'm at right now. I'm fresh off of it. Obviously, there's a lot going on. That's subject to change. Okay. I don't know where it's going to rank yet, but.
This is a let's freaking go minus for me.
Okay.
I would say like an A minus.
Okay.
All right. I hope you enjoyed this. We're going to be in touch so much in these next few days here as we're getting to do some more stuff, some more recording, and my computer's on 1%. So thank you so much for listening wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Please subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends about it. Follow us on social media at the FFW Podcast. And we'll see you next time on Friends from Work.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.